From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of January, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons will join us to discuss the agricultural cash grain market. We'll get an update of the dry conditions across parts of Illinois, a good portion of the Midwest as well, and then a cautionary tale from Aaron Hager, wheat scientist at the University of Illinois, about some of those corn herbicides that could carry over because of these dry conditions into the spring months, especially the early ones, if they were applied later than usual last year, and what that might mean for soybean acreage that could be put in the ground earlier than normal in that April 4, 5, 6 timeframe, as happened, of course, last year as well. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, in fact, with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, and we'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at 4.92 at a quarter. It was down 4 cents at the end of Monday. May contract down 3.5 at 4.94. And December futures, 4.40 and three quarters, a quarter lower. Soybeans finished at 13.72 at a half, down 2.25. In the March, the May at 13.70, 1.25 lower. November beans, that's the new crop, at $11.55 a bushel, 6.75 lower. The bean meal up $7.20 in the lead March at 4.46.80. And the bean oil, 96 cents higher at 42.63. Wheat futures for the soft red. The March contract at 634 and three quarters, down 4 cents. And the hard red, three quarters of a cent lower at $5.94 a bushel. Quick look at the livestock numbers. Live cattle futures down $1.75 in the lead February contract at $113.40. The feeders at $136, 17.5 higher in the January. The March up 7.5 at $136.90. And lean hogs for the February at $68.47, down 22.5 cents for the day. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace on this day before the USDA releases the final crop production figures for the 2020 growing season, along with the December 1 grain stocks numbers, the wheat acreage figures, and of course we'll have an update of the monthly WASDE numbers as well tomorrow, all at 11 o'clock. Tomorrow's a big day. This is the waiting day. What do you make of the marketplace today, Kurt?
Well, a little bit of consolidation, fairly active and volatile, you know, higher overnight, quite a bit lower during the day session, and kind of inched its way back on the beans particularly. What we did see is kind of a little bit of a lower close. The market did record some daily hook reversals to the downside in the soybean complex. And then in the corn complex, we actually saw a higher high and a lower close below the previous day low. So an outside down. We did not move above last week's high in some of the contracts there. So momentum indicators a little bit toppy here. Market's been on an incredible run. Relative strength index readings are up in the 90s there. So we're due for some type of consolidation here, and some retracement, alleviate the overbought status of the marketplace. But as you mentioned there, tomorrow's report day, man, I don't don't know what to think about it. We'll see what the numbers show, but, you know, the credibility and so forth, we'll have to take a look at that as we move forward. The bottom line is that cash grain markets remain strong. Decatur, you know, well over $5 for corn. Ethanol plants having to chase, you know, 10, 15 cents above the market to gather some corn inventories. Same thing on beans, fairly strong. So the cash grain market's been fairly well sold up. Now it's a matter of chasing that remaining inventory. But back to tomorrow's report, average estimate for corn stocks, 11.9. You know, over a year ago, we were at 11.3. So we have a lot more stocks than a year ago, but yet the market's sharply higher than a year ago. Beans, a little bit of a different story. 2.9 billion bushels is the average estimate. A year ago, we had 3.2, so we're down about 300 million, a little bit more of a tighter situation, but beans are about, you know, $4 or $5 higher than a year ago. So we'll see what stocks we have. This is our first benchmark to go by on what supply we had and where we are through this first quarter. So we'll continue to use those numbers from here on out to measure disappearance and what inventories are where and so forth. On the production, yield, harvested acres, and all that good stuff, trade's kind of focusing on maybe slightly higher harvested acres by a little bit, but trying to lower the yield by maybe a whole 0.3 bushels to the acre. But the bottom line of it all is looking for corn carryout to be 1599 versus 17, so over 103 million bushels less on corn. Bean ending stocks, average guess is 139. Last month we were 175. There's some estimates closer to 105 million bushel carryout, and there's ideas it could be tighter than that, but that might be down the road here as we move forward more through the marketing year. So world numbers, we'll see where those come in. I don't know if they're going to adjust those a whole lot. Yes, we do have some problems in the southern hemisphere, but we're still fairly early in the growing seasons. So if there's any adjustment on production, it will probably come in at a smaller increment here as we move through there. Crop growing season here is January, February, March is pretty critical for weather for them.
How often does USDA make dramatic changes in the crop production figures in the January report?
I don't have those statistics in front of me, but they do some revisions. And if you remember a year ago, they went back and revised the previous year's crop. So what we've seen, though, is it's so-called the final, but a lot of the revisions keep coming or changes keep coming through the marketing year we've seen over time and through here. So we'll see what we come up with. It's tight. I don't know if this market report really matters a whole lot. The commodity funds are long and the trend's higher in through here, and how tight's tight, we're going to find out. Pipeline supplies on beans, we'll see how it is. So I think once we get through tomorrow's report on this old crop, we'll have a benchmark to go by, and then we'll start to focus on new crop as far as acres, if we're buying acres, and start focusing on the 2021 crop.
You know, tomorrow's set of reports really does set the benchmark until we get to the acreage report at the end of the month of March in this case.
Yeah, the main thing is probably that stocks number more than anything. It'll tell us that's a good way to measure disappearance and kind of map out a plan as we go clear into through the market year to September 1. But main thing is commodity funds and some of these world buyers are continuing to want to gather more inventory. This morning we saw China come in and buy 132,000 tons of beans and Colombia buy 108,000 tons of corn. And the reason I bring that up is beans are almost $14 and corn's almost $5. So we're not slowing demand or rationing inventories that we have left in through here. You talk about the strength and weakness of the dollar. There's still some urgency for these countries to gather some inventory in here. And that says that, until we get a handle on that South American crop, this market could stay firm until at least through the month of January.
Yeah, without that, you might think this is a buy the rumor, sell the fact sort of thing. But the cash grain market, the export market's telling a different story.
So far, the thing is, you can see beans down 50 cents tomorrow, corn down 20 cents tomorrow on the buy the rumor, sell the fact. But if the cash market continues to tell the story it's telling, it should snap back. So I'd have orders sell limit up and orders buy limit down. It could be
a fun day. Well, we'll know at 11 o'clock, won't we? Oh, thank you, Kurt. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. You can find those numbers tomorrow at 11 o'clock on our website at willag.org, willag.org. In today's agricultural news, let's start with ethanol. It may now be up to the Biden administration to act on numerous outstanding biofuel decisions the Trump EPA has not taken or refused to take. Biofuel and farm groups are again asking a federal court to enforce its 2017 order to the Trump EPA to make up 500 million gallons in biofuel demand, says the Renewable Fuels Association chief, Jeff Cooper.
It looks more and more unlikely that this administration is going to get that rule done. So we are hopeful that that a Biden administration would get a 2021 rule out pretty quickly, and that it would be consistent with the obligations, the blending obligations that appear in the statute.
Now, Cooper and his coalition argue in a new court motion that the EPA cannot hide behind the claims of an administrative burden and inconvenience to the oil industry, but that it's the RFS, or the Renewable Fuel Standard, and rural communities that are at stake. Also unmet is the November 30th deadline, he says, for setting 2021 RFS volume obligations.
It could be May or June before we have a 2021 volume obligation rule. And, you know, by that time, you're halfway through the calendar year, and it's just not good for anybody involved in the program.
Cooper says President-elect Biden has made commitments to get the RFS, quote, back on the straight and narrow. Well, the price of farmland continues to surge. Farmers National Company says what started with better than expected sale prices at land auctions before last fall's harvest extended into continued higher prices for the months of October and November. Farmers National Company had auction sales in several states during this time where land sold near levels seen in 2012, says Randy DeCutt, Senior Vice President of Real Estate Operations. In specific instances, he says, prices for good quality cropland in the heart of the Midwest are up hundreds to thousands of dollars per acre, more than anticipated. Agland prices have been fairly stable in recent years, despite the up and downs of the agricultural economy. And finally today, Tyson Foods is adding breakfast sandwiches with soy protein patties to its Jimmy Dean product line. The plant-based sandwiches are the latest offerings from the largest meat company in America and cater to the fast-growing alternative protein segment. They're also the first alt-meat product under the Jimmy Dean sausage line. The Arkansas-based company says it's selling an egg and cheese croissant sandwich with a plant-based patty at Sam's Club's locations in the United States. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You know, last season's weather has the weed scientist at the University of Illinois cautioning farmers about carryover herbicide damage. Farmers in East Central Illinois should be familiar with what this looks like, says Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
Back in 2019, obviously, we were quite delayed with a lot of applications, pushing a lot of corn post applications back into June and followed by some very dry conditions in July and August. So we had quite a few carryover issues, especially here in the east central part of the state earlier this spring. A lot of folks are trying the very early planting. I think I saw the first reference to soybean planting on Twitter about April 5th or 6th in 2020. Unfortunately, with carryover situation, some of those beans got hit pretty hard.
Given the dry conditions across the Corn Belt right now, it could happen again, cautions Hager. The primary group of corn herbicides of concern is the group 27 HPPD inhibitors. Hager says farmers should be sure to check the rotational intervals on the herbicides used last year before going to the field this spring.
And I think, this year trying to jump the gun in the very dry portions of the state, depending upon what was used last year, we could see quite a bit of carryover again here in 2021.
On that note, Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford says an area from Quincy to Chicago has been drier than average going back to June. However, while worth watching, Ford says it is not a serious concern, at least at this point.
Of course, if those deficits persist through spring, there may be some issues. But the outlooks are still indicating a wetter than average late winter into spring. That's La Nina hanging on January so far has been pretty good about precipitation, but unfortunately, it hasn't really infiltrated because of frozen soils.
Ford is watching the rainfall forecast closely and says if the La Nina happens to hang on into the summer, the historical data suggests it could be drier than normal for most of western and central Illinois. This has happened only 8 times since 1950, so it is a rare weather phenomenon. And Ford says conditions today are not comparable, for instance, to 2012. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being here today.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, the weather in the United States is kind of typical at the moment. I want to come back to that in just a second. But are there other places around the planet that are a bit more fun?
Yeah, as we look elsewhere around the world, first off, seeing extreme wintry conditions across large portions of East Asia, as well as Europe. Some of that has already occurred in areas of China, the Koreas, and Japan, with record cold temperatures last week and record snows in areas of Japan. This week, actually, Europe and Russia are turning significantly colder as Siberian air moves into the region. And we're also seeing some major snowstorms across southern Europe in areas such as Spain, which just this past weekend saw some of their biggest snows of the past several decades. One other area of note, seeing extreme conditions, but on the hotter, drier side of things, that's actually down in South America.
And where is it?
Specifically, Todd, it's in Argentina, which that's been the theme, the hotter, drier conditions this growing season, especially in Argentina. Actually, this week is some relief for Argentina as there are two opportunities for rain and a lack of any kind of highly anomalous heat. However, that does look to change next week as drier conditions return to Argentina and temperatures look to heat back up again with highs climbing back into the 90s and even some lower 100s Fahrenheit here next week. But those extreme conditions do look to stay in Argentina. We don't anticipate that to move into Brazil, but with kind of the heart of the growing season there in Argentina, especially with more of the corn crop pollinating, you know, the timing of the hotter and drier conditions next week is an item of concern.
How much concern do you think?
Well, already we're seeing heightened crop stress with the current state of the crop, just overall poor conditions here, especially in relation to last year, in comparison to last year. And so, again, while there is some stabilization of conditions this week, the fact that hotter, drier conditions return next week, you know, then you're going to be going into this, you know, kind of more sensitive time frame with, you know, very, you know, at very low levels of conditions and with more extreme atmospheric conditions.
Here in the United States, there have, while you say boring, there have been very dry conditions across the Corn Belt. Are there indications, and I believe that there may be, that the weather will be changing to a more normal precipitation pattern as we move through the winter months?
Well, Todd, we don't necessarily agree with that. At times, there's some relief via precip in areas of the central U.S., but for at least the next couple of weeks, and particularly the plains, that is the driest area here coming up. And even longer term, that's the area to watch as we get into later in February and March. Midwest Corn Belt is a bit of a wild card, but right now we're not seeing any indications of a dramatic change in the pattern that would begin to significantly increase precipitation here in the Corn Belt.
Is this lack of change because the La Nina is hanging on?
That is one of the variables driving the pattern, will continue to drive the pattern. And then also the polar vortex configuration, that also plays a role as to how much precipitation there can be in the Midwest. And at least for the next several weeks, it's not in a configuration to help turn the Midwest very stormy.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. He joined us here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. We're now joined by Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County to talk about the cash grain situation. Hey, Brian, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tomorrow, USDA will update the final numbers for the last growing season. It will release the grain stocks for the first quarter of the new marketing year as of December 1. WASDE numbers are out, and so are the wheat acreage figures. Which ones are you most looking forward to?
I think the biggest one always is the stocks number. I think that obviously will have a bearing on specifically on soybeans, but just as much on corn, of how we're progressing with demand and just how tight our projected supply could be. And obviously all eyes with all that information you just described on the report still are looking at South America to wonder what their crop potential is going to be like as well. So tomorrow's a big day, sets us up for a trading direction for the next 90 days as we get in towards spring and acreage battles. And you know, I think everybody's kind of take a little profit getting their positions in order. And I think the end users, when you think about cash grain basis, seeing the same thing as deliveries we start to see pick up a little bit as they normally do after the first of the year. And end users are kind of remaining quiet here for a second, looking out in deferred coverage until we see kind of what the report gives us tomorrow.
What number is a yawner as it relates to grain stocks or exports, ending stocks, whichever one you want to take up for soybeans?
I think a yawner is something that's, you know, 165 from an ending carryout standpoint. I think that's the number that the trade is looking for, something closer to 140. I think there's, I don't know what the number is today, but, you know, a lot of private analysts have looked at even tighter numbers than that. And I think based on past experience, the government probably has a number in line that's kind of their bare threshold for carryout. And I think whatever that number is, it's going to allow the market just to kind of ration and figure it out from there. I don't know if we're going to take it as low as maybe some of the trade is expecting. And it might set us up for the rally we've seen the last 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a little more of a profit-taking type day, just given how much they are expecting the government to cut soybean carry out.
I think the lowest number I recall is 115. What about for corn? What are your thoughts there?
I think corn, you might even see a slight uptick, which would be contrary to what the trade's expecting. I think the average trade grass is around 1.6 billion bushels. And I think, you know, you could see a slight adjustment higher based on a cut in ethanol, not many tweaks to maybe a slight tweak in yield, but maybe an adjustment on the acreage side that offsets that. I'm not expecting a lot of big fireworks on the corn side, and that might be just enough for the trade to kind of take some profit. I think that's why we've looked technically at the psychological resistance of $5, why we've struggled to settle above that. And I think you're going to have a number that's sub 1.6 billion tomorrow to get a trade that wants to trade above five and stay above there for the foreseeable future.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org, willag.org. And don't forget, at 11 o'clock tomorrow, we'll post the updated numbers from all of the USDA reports, that crop production report, which is the final one for the year, the December 1 grain stocks number, the first one for the marketing year, and, of course, the WASDE World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate reports and the wheat acreage report, all there at willag.org or in my Twitter account at Commodity Week. However you find it, they'll be posted at 11 a.m. Central Time. I'm Todd Gleason.